Well, good morning, everybody. Last morning. How are you all? Good, good. And welcome to our online participants. It's an absolute pleasure to have you join us as well. How many of you are already familiar with the top 10 IT issues in higher education? How did you find this out? I thought it was a secret. I thought I was unveiling them here today. Somebody stole my thunder. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to go through the issues, tell you a little bit about them, talk about what we know about them. First, because I'm a researcher and researchers just absolutely love to tell you how they did what they did, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the methodology. Also because it changed this year. You may remember that in past years, for about 10 years, the IT issues, top 10 IT issues in higher education was decided through a member survey. And members were asked four questions and given a list of about 30 different issues and asked to select the top issues from that list. That worked very, very well for a number of years. But toward the end, we started to get feedback from people who felt that it seemed like it was the same 15 or so issues that just kind of kept recycling among the top 10. Sometimes the names would change, educational technology, instructional technology, e-learning, but it did feel like it was the same list. And so there was some call and interest in a change. The way we've selected this year's top 10 list and the way we are well on our way to selecting the top 10 list for 2013 is through a research panel, a research panel of IT leaders who are representative of the membership. Last year's panel was 19 people. Now we have two dozen IT leaders. They meet quarterly, including once at the conference, so we met yesterday. And the question that we ask at every single meeting is, what is the single biggest IT-related issue currently facing your institution? They talk. They posit ideas. They give suggestions. They agree with one another. They disagree. They shape the responses. And from that, we come up with a poll of 8, 10, 12, 14 different issues that they have identified, and we ask them to select the top three or four for every particular quarter. From that, we look back over the year, see what they've selected, and we give them an opportunity to identify additional issues that might not have emerged during those quarterly sessions. And they select a final list of the top 10 IT issues facing higher education for 2013. I am going to be reading from the words, of the committee members. The committee members themselves collectively and collaboratively wrote the article that describes the top 10 issues. We did a Google Doc, and they all pitched in and helped write this. So really in gratitude for their contribution and to make sure that their contribution is well reflected, as an introduction to each issue, I'm going to read their words. And I'm going backwards from 10 to 1. Establishing an IT governance process is possibly the single most effective step toward effective IT leadership because it will provide a framework for defining decision rights around IT priorities and resource allocation. Good IT governance is especially imperative because digital technologies are embedded within nearly every operational process on college and university campuses. The expense and strategic value of technology investments, as well as the complexity of IT decisions, warrant a governance framework that can ensure coordinated decisions regarding the acquisition of technology devices, software, and standards. IT governance can guide coordinated purchasing, implementation, and support decisions to improve the user experience and can help execute technology standards where appropriate and customize where necessary. Issue number 10 is establishing and implementing IT governance throughout the institution. So, what do we know? We know a little bit about IT governance. We know who CIOs report to, and this is from the EDUCAUSE Core Data Service. A third of CIOs report to the very top executive, the president or chancellor, and then about another third report to the highest administrative or financial officer, with 20% reporting to the highest academic officer. One of the questions that we also asked in the EDUCOST Core Data Service, another measure of IT governance, is to what extent is the IT strategic plan incorporated into the institutional strategic plan? Because certainly aligning IT strategy with the institution strategy is another indicator of good governance. You can see in these, the green in these pie charts for different Carnegie classifications show that IT is coordinated, is incorporated into the strategic plan. The brown, IT has a strategic plan, but the institutional plan, and the blue is the least advanced. We don't have an institutional or an IT strategic plan. The questions that the committee said IT is asking about IT governance are the following. Do we have effective governance? We have it, but is it effective? We have governance, but do people understand the principles and the structure, or is it sort of hidden in a black box? What is the realm of influence of IT governance? Are we really effective at IT governance within a particular area, within the law school perhaps, but not within central IT, for administrative computing, but not for academic computing? And how does the governance structure adapt to changes over time? Changes in technology, changes in higher education. Issue number 9, ensuring adequate infrastructure for researchers is challenging higher education institutions in terms of both physical and human resources at a pace unseen before. The amount of information being generated continues to grow at an incredible rate in both big and small science. Network, storage, analytical and visualization tools need to be implemented, supported, and grown at an unprecedented pace. Issue number 9, supporting the research mission through high-performance computing, large data, and analytics. ECAR did a study of research computing this year, which we have just recently released in the last week or so. One of the things that we did as part of this study was simply to define research computing. And as you can see from this graphic, research computing has a lot of dimensions to it. That's what one of the things that we learned from higher education, a lot of facets relating both to the administration of research computing, to the technologies, to the expertise involved. One of the things that we asked in the research computing survey, the ECAR survey, was to what extent are various major high-level aspects of research computing effective? To what extent are they somewhat effective? Perhaps you don't even have a strategy, or you have a strategy, but it's ineffective. And you can see that we've got a long ways to go with research computing. There are a lot of folks who are saying central IT support is very effective, but there are a lot of folks who are saying we don't have a strategy at all. The same for the other 6 areas. Now, with public doctoral universities, So this is really looking in one of the groups that does a lot of research computing, you can see that the picture is a little bit different. So more effective strategies are happening within public doctorals, particularly in these 3 areas: collaborative and team-based science approach, data management, and a funding model. We also looked at private doctoral universities, and similarly, they are more advanced than the universities overall, but in different areas. So private doctorals tend to be more advanced in central IT support, planning, and central IT staffing. One of the things that we did in the study was we identified whether an institution had a high, medium, or low research intensity using the IPEDS data. So we took IPEDS research expenses and we controlled for institutional size. And look, it actually turned out for reasons that are still a little bit mysterious to us that that student FTE was the most effective control for dividing these out. And what we found was that high research intensity universities are further advanced in many of these areas, obviously, not surprisingly, than low or medium. You can see that the low are the ones, the big light blue bar are the ones who are most likely to be providing minimal resources. Similarly, we also looked at high, medium, low for a number of individual research services and technologies. And I'm not going to walk you through this chart exhaustively. If you're an ECAR member, you already have access to it. But the one thing that I did want to point out to you was that the biggest differentiator between the high research intensity universities and the other universities was in the area of HPC. And they were far more advanced than the other areas. What are the strategic questions the IT issues panel told us IT is asking right now? What's the funding strategy? Are we going to tax the researchers with their grants? And excuse me, another thing that the ECAR study found out was that that's a pretty limited funding strategy, and the institution really has to, in addition, have some baseline investment in research computing. So you can't all do it fee-for-service or taxing individual faculty researchers. What's the balance between central and decentralized IT? Some of these research computing roles really do seem to be more effectively provided outside of central IT. But central IT obviously has a big role in research computing. What are the service implications for central IT? And what are the staffing implications? Do we need to hire PhDs in specific areas to really effectively be able to support research computing? Do we need to have staff members who liaison with scientists and help them as they prepare grant proposals to be able to be with them at the very beginning of the research process? And then finally, and this is a question we're asking all over, not just in research computing, where can we collaborate across institutions? This is so expensive, it's so complex, and can we really afford to do this on our own within our institutions? Issue number 8. Many institutions have already used information technology to achieve efficiencies, but transformation is a word du jour. Information technology, allied with process reengineering and continuous improvement, is the pathway to transformation. All aspects of higher education are being transformed, including teaching and learning, scholarship, research, institutional advancement, admissions, and administrative services. Information technology is never sufficient, but is almost always necessary for those transformations to have both efficient and effective outcomes. Issue number 8, transforming the institution's business with information technology. What are the strategic questions the IT issue panel is asking? Is the institution's strategic plan, does it include transformative objectives? Is IT a trusted partner? What's the relationship between IT and those who are setting the strategy and really considering transformation? A question that I think you are all asking yourselves now, how do you experiment? How do you innovate without undue risk? IT is not supposed to break anything. Innovation is all about trial and error. You heard Elliot Mazie yesterday said, fail and fail and fail your way to success. Well, how many of you can really afford to do that? Are the right capabilities in place? One of the things I did was I looked at what Gartner might have to say about IT's role in transformation. And one of the recommendations that they made was consider what your role is. What is IT's role in transformation? And really get good at that role. Is your IT role, is it as a driver of transformation, or is it as an enabler of transformation? What does the institution want from your role, and what are you really capable of doing? So consider that. Issue number 7. It's very important that IT funding is not viewed as unrelated to decision-making about other academic and operational funding. Information technology serves the mission of the institution. Strategic decisions about funding can only be made when the relationship between technology and that mission is clear. The IT organization needs to engage its institutional colleagues in the process of setting funding priorities and building their ownership in the decisions. As IT resources are becoming more decentralized, putting resources where they're needed, the IT funding big picture becomes more difficult to see clearly. Issue 7, funding information technology strategically. So the questions that the IT issue panel identified that IT is asking, how do we verify that we're really using resource levels efficiently? How do we demonstrate? How do we know our efficiency? How do we get an institution-wide view of IT funding? And as somebody who is also responsible for the EDUCAUSE Core Data Service, I can tell you that that is really difficult. When we ask people, it's hard enough to provide funding and cost figures for central IT. And then when we also say, can you tell us what the IT spend is for decentralized IT, the IT staffing, it's very, very hard. And it's not a matter even with IT staffing of just getting a dump of the HR database and looking at all the IT titles, because there are plenty of people with the title manager, director, who are doing IT jobs, or research associate. How do you integrate IT funding into programs and initiatives rather than have it be an afterthought? So one of the things that we're doing in ECAR right now is we're taking a good hard look at what are different models that should be used and can be used and need to be used for measuring IT costs in higher education. Is it total IT costs, central plus decentralized? Is it some metric cost per FTE? And how do we measure FTE? Is it as a percent of institutional budget? A lot of people are trying to really crack the thorny nut of identifying how much services cost. One of the most sophisticated efforts in this area is Indiana University, which does activity-based costing and is able to put a per-unit cost on every single service that they deliver. How many of us can do that? And if we can't, can we do any of this? Cost per mission. That is another question that many of our institutions are asking us. Tell me how much I'm spending IT for teaching and learning versus research versus administration. What proportion of the IT budget is dedicated to simply operating the IT organization versus scaling it up versus innovation and transformation? And then finally, value. How do we measure value in IT in ways that are not just a proxy for costs? Total spending for ITE, faculty, students, and staff. We took a look at the core data service, and we took a look at the data. And if you look at these data, you can see, those private doctorals, they sure do spend a lot. So it looks like, that's the story. They spend a lot more than others, and masters and associates spend a lot less. Private BA also spend quite a bit. Then we also looked at what that spend is a little bit more closely. But wait a minute. Spending per FTE is more complex than this, and I think you all know that. So our senior statistician, Pam Arroway, who's in the audience, she worked a little bit on modeling for one of our reports. And what she found out, there's a large margin of error, but roughly, most of the variability in IT spending is explained by institutional size. So roughly, if you start at about 800 FTEs and a baseline $250,000 in spending for IT, spending increases by about $645 per FTE, and that this model explains 74% of the variance in IT spending. You can see the three different lines still show you that there are different slopes and different intercepts for the associates, which are at the bottom, versus the BA liberal and the doctoral, which tend to spend a little bit more per FTE. So they do invest more. But we found that that formula did seem to hold. Issue number 6. Institutions are under continued pressure from accreditors and public funding sources to demonstrate that student outcomes are improving and that institutions are being run efficiently. Students and parents are beginning to clamor for more direct and real-time feedback by gaining access to the data that institutions collect about student performance. Sophisticated analytical tools provide a means to draw meaningful conclusions. New interactive data visualization tools can bring complex data to life and make evidence easily and readily accessible to executives, managers, and the public. Analytics have been a vital and valuable tool in many student success projects, such as Achieving the Dream, Completion by Design, Course Signals, and Next Generation Learning Challenges. Beyond higher education, research is showing that organizations that use analytics are more efficient and effective. Issue number 6, using analytics to support critical institutional outcomes. The IT Issues panel said, these are the strategic questions IT is asking. Where should we focus our analytics efforts? You can't boil the ocean and say we're going to do analytics for all of our institution. So where do we focus? What are our existing capabilities? And are those capabilities really sufficient for the work required to do analytics? What is the role of the IT organization? Do we just deliver up the storage in the data center and applications? Do we have any work to provide beyond that? Are we a strategic leader of applications? You've heard about the notion of a chief digital officer. Is that the CIO? And will our existing culture help us or hold us back with regard to analytics? The ECAR study of analytics in higher education gives us a little bit of insight into that. We learned that compared to 2 years ago, analytics is a lot more important, and a lot of you said that. And similarly, when we said to you, what about 2 years from now? Same proportions of people who said it's going to continue to be important. Now, I think one of the things that we are seeing at this conference, and that I'm certainly hearing, is there feels like there's a big gap between the expectations and the excitement at the executive level and IT and IR's sense of what we're really capable of doing and delivering right now. And I should just pause and tell you that this study, unlike other ECAR studies, is a study that we did in collaboration with the Association of Institutional Research. So these are the perspectives of IT as well as institutional research. More potential seen in analytics for student areas than for cost or faculty. We asked in the survey, we said, okay, when you really trade off the potential benefits for the difficulty and the challenges of working in these areas and using analytics, where do you think the benefits are the highest? And it is in student outcomes, recruiting students, student areas, as well as optimizing use of resources, but not lowering or containing the cost of education or administrative costs. Right now, we have a long ways to go in all of the areas. We have a long ways to go in bolstering our infrastructure and really developing that, making sure that we've got the right tools to do analytics, getting the data that we need and getting them clean and in shape, getting cultural readiness and support and understanding, not just of it's okay to use my data to ask questions, but actually how do you frame the questions and then how do you use the data to actually take action? Because analytics without taking action is not useful at all. And it turns out that the biggest gap, however, is in investment. And one of the things that we found is that institutions have two ways, sort of black and white, but roughly two ways of looking at analytics. Either they can look at analytics as a cost, one more thing we got to spend money on, or they can look at it as a strategic investment. This is really going to help advance us in a number of areas. And when we do the ROI, it's actually a very cost-effective thing to do because we'll retain more students, we'll graduate more students, etc. And it turns out institutions who have the latter perspective and view analytics expenses as an investment are making more headway. Issue number 5. At many institutions, information technology is not sufficiently integrated into the senior leadership structure to enable the institution to fully embrace and benefit from technology's strategic advantages. As soon as some people talk about technology, they put it in a box, viewing IT only as an enabling function or a utility, and not recognizing its broader potential to operationalize institutional strategy and transformative change. Issue number 5, integrating information technology into institutional decision making. What are the questions the panel told us IT is asking? Do IT's goals align with the institutions, or are they completely separate, or, God forbid, going in different directions? How can CIOs really get strategic discussions going when every time they walk into a meeting, they're being asked, can you help me use my mobile device to connect to some of the institutional resources? Hey, I got a question about my home computer. So immediately you're drawn into the operational and the tactical. And how do you get back to the strategic? Do our IT leaders today possess the necessary skills? Do you have the competencies to be able to participate in institutional decision making? What are those competencies and how do you acquire them? And does IT understand the institution well enough? Many of you, actually, let me ask a question. How many of you are working in IT buildings that are not on your campus, but are, that are off your campus? So, bunch of hands going up. And it's hard to feel part of the academic life when you're physically separated from campus, and yet it's never been more important. One of the questions that we asked the IT Issues panel was, where is the CIO role headed? So we said to them, give us a word, what word best describes your role today? And they came up with words that characterized, oh, it's challenging, oh my God, it's hectic, always busy, a lot of facets, you know, a lot of different things I'm working on, a lot of administrative work and overhead, and I'm really focused on technology. Then we said, think 3 years into the future. What one word will describe your role then? Transform. Still multifaceted, innovative, strategic. What we didn't hear was challenging and hectic. And I bet you if I sat down with the panel, I'm sure that every one of them would admit that we always hope that the future is going to be a little bit more organized and orderly than the present is. And then we find out, well, it's not. So issue number 4. Today, using information technology to improve operational efficiency is no longer just desirable. It has become an imperative due to the ever-shrinking resources brought on by the current economic downturn. Most institutions have many of the required technologies, workflow, electronic forms, digital signing, in place, but not everyone has broadly restructured business processes to take advantage of those new technologies. And that's easier said than done. Electronic workflow can't realize its full potential when it's implemented piecemeal and opportunistically. Issue number 4, improving the institution's operational efficiency through information technology. What are the strategic questions the panel identified? Which are the business processes that could benefit the most? It takes a lot of work to transform a business process in a way that's truly effective and truly delivers value. So where do we start? Do we have strong enough partnerships? This is not something IT can drive or decide on its own. It really has to be a partnership with the business areas. And are they strong enough now? Are those supporting technologies in place? And how do we work with the institution? What's the most effective way to work, to redefine, to automate business processes, rather than just simply take the same process and automate that? Some advice from IT. For IT, build applications to change rather than to last. So as you design your applications, they really have the agility to be able to transform and automate them as your needs and processes change. Make sure that you have expertise in business process management. It's a new role, and many of you have that role already in your IT organization, or it's in an allied organization. But make sure that if not in IT, somewhere in your institution you have that. And again, IT can't do it alone. It requires partnership. You've got to have the culture set, and you have to understand what the policies and governance are and what the objectives are of cultural and transformational change. What do you think issue number 3 is? Any guesses? Colleges and universities need to develop a coherent strategy about sourcing services in the cloud. A successful strategy has to cover architecture, business models and requirements, procurement and contract management, contingency planning, security, privacy, and compliance. For services that remain available in an on-premise model, campus IT organizations will need to continually demonstrate the value of that model in the face of cloud offerings. For new cloud-only offerings, the institution will need to establish a strategy for evaluation, selection, risk assessment, and vendor management. It will also need to establish a strategy around data integration tasks that may have to be undertaken by the campus IT organization. Issue number three, developing an institution-wide cloud strategy. Strategic questions, the panel told us. How will cloud add value? This isn't just a stampede towards something that everybody's talking about. You really need to define how cloud will add value. And what are all the implications before you make that step? How do you get buy-in? And what is the return on investment? So there's a lot of decisions that you have to make. How do you find the right vendor? And how do you secure your data? How do you protect that? How do you negotiate terms and conditions? Cloud computing advice from Gartner. They said cloud computing starts at home. Before you ever move to the cloud, you've got a lot of work to do within your current IT organization to prepare to do that. Make sure that before you move to the cloud, you have good, mature data governance. Again, identify what are the best use cases and start with those. So don't start with the one that is going to be the most difficult, even though that might be the one that is the most tempting. Get yourself virtualized before you move to the cloud. And make sure that you have staff skills to manage cloud solutions so that you go into that empowered and prepared. Issue number two. While technology landscape has never been more personal or easy to use, it's simultaneously increasingly complex to manage and support. Faculty, staff, and students no longer need the IT organization as an intermediary in their adoption and application of the most commonly used technologies. They arrive with mature personal computing environments that they've self-configured to meet their specific needs, preferences, and styles of work and recreation. Any college or university that maintains hard and fast rules about which devices and communication tools must or may not be used risks being irrelevant. And yet, the institution's data and intellectual property must be safeguarded, no matter where it is stored, transmitted, or accessed. Even the most strategic and flexible IT organization may, at times, need to be reactive. Institutions need to learn to adapt to and leverage personal computing environments, not prescribe them. Issue number two, supporting the trends toward IT consumerization and bring your own device. What are the strategic questions IT is asking? What is our operational definition of bring your own device? ECAR is right now standing up a study of IT consumerization led by Eden Dahl. One of our senior ECAR researchers. She's doing focus groups right now, and part of the focus groups are to define it. And is it really bring your own device or bring your own environment? What are the infrastructure implications? How do you have an infrastructure that safely supports this? And a lot of you, I know, are grappling with the need for really ubiquitous and high-level wireless and broadband access. Should our IT support strategy change? IT support desks have been around for a very long time with a very mature and very stable support strategy. There are the things IT doesn't support, there are the things they give best effort, and there are the things they recommend and support. And the IT help desks often will try to answer any question. What should our support strategy be? And I know that many of you are in the process of, are considering, and some of you have already moved to some sort of outsourcing arrangement for your help desk to help you out with this. And finally, what are the security implications? Well, we have Mitch Davis, one of our fellow CIOs, to thank for some BYOD advice. Don't try to secure the device, he said. Really worry about securing the data, because securing the device is just a Sisyphean task. know what's important to your users. And one of the examples he gave is, do you have to continue those public printing facilities, or does it turn out that it's really that use case of printing from a tablet that is the thing that is most important to your students, and optimize those institutional services for the use cases that are the most important. Support as many devices as possible, and make the technology available to everybody, even those who can't afford it. So try to avoid this sort of, if people are bringing their own environments, they're bringing their own devices, then we do worry about this kind of have and have not culture. And how can the institution support the have nots and help them out? You do need a robust network because the demands are much more intense. And the IT staff are people who you're going to have to continue to invest in, because they're going to, IT staff have always had to have continuous training and to be up on the latest trends, but they need it more than ever now as the environment gets more complex. Which brings us to issue number one, the top issue. Information technology is changing the way it delivers and manages technology services, and the IT staff must adapt accordingly. Although the CIO's changing role has achieved much attention in recent years, with the need for CIOs to acquire or enhance their strategic planning, relationship management, and communication skills, many other roles in the IT organization are also evolving in similarly disruptive ways. This service broker role requires negotiation, contract review, security review, and product vendor vetting skills, skills that many IT staff members don't possess today. Other roles related to process redesign, continuous improvement, ITIL, metrics, and analytics will also require new skills. Other capabilities requiring new roles have been around longer, but they may still be new to some IT organizations. Examples include project management, knowledge management, and relationship management. Issue number one is updating IT professional skills and roles to accommodate emerging technologies and changing IT management and service delivery models. The questions that the IT panel proposed, which new skills are the ones that we need? Where do we start? Do we need entirely new roles? Is it simply a matter of acquiring new skills for existing staff? Or do we really need to think about changing our IT organization to accommodate new types of roles? What is our professional development strategy? One of the things the panel talked about was IT staff are already operating flat out, and many of them don't even avail themselves of the professional development time that you encourage and exhort them to take. So how are they going to have time to skill up? So what is the right professional development strategy? And do we bring in new people, or do we retrain our existing people? So there you have it, the 2012 Top 10 IT Issues for Higher Education. On our website, we've taken a look at the top 10 IT issues over the last 12 years. And our data visualization specialist, Tyson Anderson, we have him to thank for creating an interactive historical view that enables you to select the year, and the top 10 issues will be listed for that year. And you'll also be able to select the issue and see the path for that issue. You can see some issues have been very enduring. They've spiked, they've gone down, but they've pretty much stayed there. IT funding is a great example. Other issues have come and gone. The web is an example of that. It was around for 3 years and then left. So you're probably saying, well, we've only got less than 2 months in 2012. What are going to be the top 10 IT issues for 2013? I will give you some issues that the IT panel has identified already. We'll see how many of these, which of these make the top 10 issues and in what format. This whole notion of balancing resources with priorities. In the panel meeting yesterday, the panel took it even a little bit further, and they talked about how do you balance innovation with execution and really do them both well. Selecting the right sourcing and solution strategies. Boy, the sourcing environment has never been more complex. And how do you make the right decisions? E-learning was another big topic. And in fact, e-learning is going to be a priority focus area for EDUCAUSE next year. We'll be doing an ECAR study on e-learning, a number of talks, some meetings, and I think that we'll really try to develop a body of knowledge on that. Supporting the institution's mobile IT needs, and in fact, this was echoed again yesterday a little bit different way, and that was the demand for ubiquitous and high-level access to the network. Workforce issues is a big one. ECAR is going to be conducting a study of the IT workforce next year. All of these changes are having a huge impact on our workforce. And to what extent is the IT workforce adapting? How do they feel about this? What new roles are they taking on? Is the IT organization restructuring? What are the new models? So we really want to explore that. And we will be doing that in collaboration with Coupa HR, the higher ed HR organization. So they will be lending us a couple of their best HR officers to help us identify some of these issues and research them. And that, I will just leave it with one question. And this is a question we asked the IT issues panel. We said, with all this new stuff, what are we going to stop? And yeah, I hear that echoed in the halls here too. We have to stop doing things. So first we asked the panel the question, okay, what can IT stop? We got a bunch of suggestions and ideas. And it turned out that a lot of those suggestions, people realized, really what we're talking about this is we're talking about outsourcing, moving it to the cloud. But it's still a service, an IT service, that IT has to manage and administer. So that doesn't really count. So then they got a little bit more rigorous, and they said, what can we really stop and walk away from? It's not a very long list, but there are some things. And I guess being an eternal optimist, one way that I look at this is by saying that there's not much that you're doing today that is not important and necessary, because there's not a whole lot that the panel concluded that you can really stop. And with that, I will stop. And thank you very much. The IT Issues article is on the EDUCAUSE website. This talk is in the conference agenda, so you can download it. And I would be happy to take any questions. So, thank you. Thank you very much. If you do have questions so our online participants can hear them, I've been asked to ask you to come to one of these two microphones.
Good morning. Very interesting list. One of the things I really didn't see explicitly on there had to do with security. With all the BYOD and the openness, the increased openness, I've heard at a lot of sessions at this conference that there's security concerns, regulatory, privacy concerns, things like that. Was security an issue that was considered?
What was interesting was there were two things that were missing from this list that have been perennially on the top 10 IT issues in the past. One was IT security, and the other was instructional technology, teaching and learning, some specific issue devoted to that. We realized that before we published the article, and we had a flurry of back and forth in the panel, and it was like, oh my God, what are we going to do about this? Was this a miss on behalf of the panel? Do we need to really rethink this and rejigger this list? The panel concluded that both teaching and learning and security are interwoven in many of these issues. So you will have seen in the strategic questions IT is asking, many, many security implications in BYOD, in cloud, in many of these other issues. And that may be a sign of how foundational information security feels at this point in time. Similarly, teaching and learning, people felt that that was quite well represented in some of the issues, most notably analytics. Other questions? Do we have any questions from the online audience? Well, thank you very, very much. I hope your conference was great, and I wish you safe travels home. Thank you.